Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
It is strange times that we're living in today. And what we need, what do we need at a difficult time like this? Tell you what we need. We need some Jesus. We need some Jesus. We need to get a hold of Him. We need to trust in Him. We need to get a hold of the hem of His garment. When we're in a situation like we're in now, where we're anxious, we're nervous, there are folks worried, are we going to be able to go to work next week? How long is this shutdown going to be? How long are we going to be contained? How long is it going to be before I can connect with people? And I know in every situation we've had, which is our nation has faced, we've always had one constant through all those things. We've always been able to flock to the church house, get together, get on our knees before the Lord and pray and draw comfort from one another. We're living in a time we're not able to do that now, and it makes it challenging. It makes it difficult for us to connect. But I'm so glad that we serve a God that has provisions for us, has a plan for us, and a purpose for us. And He's making a way through, believe it or not, social media that we can connect and be together. So, in thinking about what we're going to look at today, we've been going through some doctrinal studies, some basic doctrines, but in praying for today, I thought Camp Cove was supposed to have begun last week. We take 8 weeks where we bring kids over here from different schools and minister to them. We're not able to pull that off right now. We don't know if we're going to get to. We hope we may get a couple of weeks in, but we're not sure. So the theme for Camp Cove this year was going to be joy. Full, being full of joy. And so the verse that goes with this whole theme is 1 John 1:4 says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So I thought, let's take a break from the doctrinal study for a few weeks, and let's look at some of these characters we were going to look at when we would have been in Camp Cove. Because what do we really need today? Obviously, we need Jesus. But what do we need from Jesus? What kind of help are we going to get a hold of? We need joy. Everybody needs a little bit of joy. So I want to look at the life of Old Testament Joseph today. We're going to look into some things he experienced. We're not going to elaborate on the entire story because it's deep, it's complex, a lot of details to it. But I want us to take a look at some things that Joseph faced and experienced and how he found joy in the midst of all those. So our passage is going to come from Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis 37. We're going to look in the first four verses of Genesis 37. "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to you today, our hearts are heavy, we're anxious, we have fears. God, we're praying today that your perfect love will conquer all those fears that we have, that you'll restore in us today and all of our listeners, that you'll restore to us today the joy that we need that only comes from you, joy that's unspeakable and peace that passes all understanding. Those are the things that we need that money can't buy, God, but that we know we can only receive from a right relationship with you. Forgive me of my sins today, God, and cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness that I can serve you and glorify you. Be with us today as we continue to minister. Give us your vision and give us your direction, God, and your guidance so that we can be effective for you and for the kingdom in the midst of these troubling times. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to share your word today and connect with others, even though it may not be physically. And we pray your blessings on the reading of your word and blessings of those that are joining us today. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. When I think about Joseph and I thought about some things that concerned him, some experiences that he had. I wanted to go through kind of a quick list of things that he experienced and how we can learn from those lessons. The first is this, that God's plans are greater than our plans. Doesn't matter what you may think of yourself. It doesn't matter what you may have planned for yourself. Know this, that God has a bigger plan for you than you have for yourself. We do a verse of the day here at the church, and today's verse was Jeremiah 21 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." When Joseph was a young man, we just read he was 17 years old. And he was out with his brothers. He was out gathering the sheaves in. And as he gathered his in, he said, "Brothers, I want to share with you a vision that I had. I had a vision that as we were all gathering our sheaves, that my sheave raised up and stood upright, and all of yours bowed down to mine." So as if his brothers needed another reason to be mad at him, now he's sharing with them that they're going to bow down to him. So I can imagine how that went over. It didn't go over very good with his brothers. Later he had another vision that he shared with his dad, and he shared with his brothers as well. He said, "I even had another dream, another vision, that the moon and the sun and the stars, 11 stars, bowed down to me." And so what he's saying is, mom, dad, brothers, all of you are going to give me obeisance or bow down or have respect for me. And so his father even reprimanded him a little bit when he said that. But it said later on that his father considered those things in his heart. So his dad's thinking, there might be something to what Joseph's saying. I need to be cautious and not too hasty and too quick to judge. So I thought about how God's plans are so much bigger than ours. Could Joseph really have understood what God was saying to him? Did he think he was just going to be a king, or did he think he was going to be just the ruler in his family and all of his family going to bow down to him? What exactly did Joseph conceive in his mind and think was going to happen by this bowing down and this respect that he was going to gain from those around him? Because know this, his brothers hated him. They hated him with a passion. Their desire was to see him dead. So how are these things going to change, and how could this possibly develop, and how could it be the vision that he was given? Because God had a bigger plan than he had. David, what was David? David was nothing more than the youngest in his family, and his job was to tend the sheep, because all the other brothers, they were older, they thought they were smarter, they were wiser, they were more intellectual, and they were superior in strength. And they felt that they were more knowledgeable about things. They were military ready. So David being the youngest, he got the worst job. He got to tend the sheep while all the other guys got to go to military camp. And they were over here getting ready for these battles and preparing. And they were important meetings and planning and sessions. So his brothers felt like they were something else. David's the youngest in the family. And I imagine as David sat out there tending those sheep, what kind of vision did David think God was going to have for him? Did David think for one moment that God was going to make him the next king over Israel? Could you imagine being David, being a kid, and the biggest future you're going to have is the last in the inheritance? You're going to get the last of everything. You're going to get all the hand-me-downs after they've been wore out 7 times. Nothing good is going to come your way. So how does somebody like David live with that, and what kind of vision did David have for himself? I don't know what David had for himself. But when God looked down and saw David tend those sheep, he said, "That's a young man that has a heart like mine, and I'm going to do great things through him." What we need to understand is this: we need to think big. I need to think big. Amen. I mean, when I was a kid, did I ever dream that God would call me to preach? No, it'd terrify me if I knew it. I'd ran and hide like Gideon. Gideon, what was Gideon doing when God spoke to him? He was hiding. Gideon was literally, physically hiding out here trying to gather up some wheat and gather up some things to provide for his family, because those Midianites were gathered around and troops would come by randomly. And so Gideon is over here terrified, hiding for his life, trying to find a way to provide a little bit of nourishment for his family and for his father's house. And God came and spoke to Gideon. And he said, I see in you a mighty man of valor. I think Gideon said the same thing that we would all say, you got to be kidding me, God. There is no way. I don't see any of those things. Look at me. I'm a coward. I'm hunkered down here. I'm hiding. I'm terrified for my life, and I'm afraid somebody's going to see me, and I'm going to be killed just trying to go out and gather some food for my family. Yeah, we're not the only ones that have faced difficult times. We're not the only ones that have faced oppression. We're not the only ones that have been challenged as a nation, as a world. These experiences have happened before. The good thing is that the same God that blessed then is the same God that's here with us and going to bless today and be with us and be our strength. So what we got to think in times of trouble, in times of angst and anxiety is that God has a plan for you. We got to think big. We got to realize we serve a big God, and we don't need to limit what God is able to do and desires to do in and through our lives by what we think of ourselves. You may not think a whole lot of yourself. You may have low self-esteem. You may have personality issues where you feel like you're more of an introvert. I'm not one that can actually be effective out there for the kingdom of God. Understand this, God has zero limits, even though we may have limits ourselves. We serve a massive God, and let's start believing that, and let's start praying that way. Now, the next thought is that God is going to provide for those that follow Him. I like that. I like the fact that knowing God's going to make a way and bring just the right provisions for those people that are following Him. In the story of Joseph, after he shared that vision, his brothers decided, well, we got to get rid of this guy. He is nothing but a thorn in our side. He's a plague. He's pestilence, and we got to get rid of him. So most of the brothers agreed, why don't we just kill him? Let's take him out and kill him, and let's take his coat of many colors, put some blood on it, take it back to Dad and say, well, Dad, he was killed by some wild animals. This is all that we found, all that was left. A couple of the brothers were not so sure about killing their younger brother. They thought, let's do something else. Let's just throw him in a pit. So they threw him in a pit, and Reuben had intended on coming back and getting him out of the pit later, but before he could come back and do so, the rest of the brothers saw some traders coming through on their way to Egypt. So they pulled him up out of the pit, and they sold him to those traders, and so Joseph became a slave. The very one that God had given a vision to, that the rest are going to bow down to you, found himself in chains, bound, and going where someone else wanted to take him. Reuben came back and found that he was gone. He'd been sold and he was troubled, but still the deed had been done. As he made his way into Egypt, he was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar was a captain in the army of Pharaoh, a military leader. And so he found himself purchased by this man, Potiphar. He ended up in his house. And because Joseph was such an amazing, godly man, he remained joyful in the midst of all the troubles and trials that he faced. He held on to the belief that God does have a plan for me, and God will provide for me everything I need. It's a mindset, you know. If we can get in our head to believe God is able. God is able to bring a vision He shows me to be. God's able to bring into being the things He's told me He's going to do in my life. If He said it, He's going to do it. I got to choose to believe Him, and I can find joy in serving God. So he ended up in Potiphar's house. Next thing you know, he is ruling and controlling all of Potiphar's finances, all of his servants. Everything in Potiphar's home is being controlled by Joseph. Because he's such a godly man and trustworthy man, God elevated him to such a beautiful position. Well, wouldn't you know, it wouldn't last long. Potiphar's wife came in and tried to seduce him, and he wouldn't have any part of it. He ran from her, and she came in, accused him of trying to take advantage of her. He ended up in prison. So we got Joseph now. He's been sold into slavery, and now he's Potiphar's house and started to increase. Now we find him in prison. Things are continually getting worse and worse. And while he's in prison, he has these dreams and visions that people share with him, a baker and a butler. And so he says, guys, I'm going to interpret those visions for you. When you get out of here, please, to the butler, he said, when you get out of here and see Pharaoh, tell him about me, remember me. But it seemed as though everything that Joseph tried to do to better himself, it seemed like it always backfired. Have you ever been in life to where it seemed like everything that you try to do, good for God, you take one step forward and two steps back? Have you ever felt as though, God, do you really hear me? Are you really here with me? Are you close? In a lot of counseling that I do, I try to remind people of this fact, because it is fact. Don't let your relationship with God be based on your emotional state. Let it be based on your belief and confidence in the Word of God. Amen. You ever have a time in your life where you don't feel saved? Sure we do. You ever feel like God's not with you? Sure we do. Do you ever feel like you're alone? I feel that way right now. I'm preaching to an empty crowd. We feel alone. But what we need to remember is, even though my emotions may tell me and try to manipulate me in one area, one thing is true and constant always: the Word of God. And so I got to hang on to that, and I got to trust and believe in that. So what did God do in the midst of those troubling times with Joseph? I'll tell you what he did. He provided for him. He met every need that Joseph had. Could Joseph have got to the position he needed to get to quicker? Absolutely. But I believe that sometimes as we go through troubling times, God allows us to do that because there are valuable lessons that God desires for us to learn. Given about God's provision, listen to Matthew 6, 25 and 26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? God will provide for us. He provided manna and quail for those. 40 years of wandering, God provided for them. They were out fishing, and Jesus looked to Peter, and he said, cast your nets on the right side of the boat, and you'll have a great catch. And Peter cast the nets, and they brought in so much fish that it almost sank the boat. God will give us what we need. We got to trust in Him. We got to believe in Him to be our great provider. This statement, probably you're not going to like. I don't like it either, but it is true. Suffering is not always bad. You're going to say, no, you're wrong. Suffering is always bad. Well, I get what you're saying. Yeah, suffering to a degree is bad. We don't enjoy suffering. There are bad things and bad experiences that come with our suffering. Understand about testing and tempting. We look in God's Word. We know that Satan's desire is to tempt us. So what does that mean? It means Satan's desire is to tempt us and pull us away from God in a right relationship. But what God's desire is to test us and challenge our faith in the hopes that we will trust in Him and follow Him. God's desire is to always pull us closer to Him. Satan's desire is to always draw us farther away from God. So in our suffering, God has a plan and a desire. What is that plan and desire? It's a desire to build character. It's a desire to get us in a place where we can not only grow spiritually and become a blessing, but bless other people as we go. I draw more strength off of seeing other people as they go through their trials of life and to see them hold true to God. Somebody lost a loved one. And of course they're broken and emotional over the loss. But I've gone through the line before and at a funeral and talked to a widow that lived 50 years with her mate, her husband. And as I talk with her and come to try to comfort her and strengthen her, she looks and says, I want you to know, preacher, that I pray for you every day. That's what I need to come and tell you. I need to come and be your strength. Isn't it amazing that when we suffer and when we go through those difficult times in life, God's plan is for us to be a huge blessing to those people around us and affect their lives in a positive way, to let them know, hey, God is real, God is alive, and God is right here and He's with us. He's not going to leave us. Not going to forsake us. He said to His disciples, I'm going to be with you always, even to the very end of the world, I'm going to be with you. Yeah, suffering is bad, but it's not all bad. if we look to Him. Sure, we can be miserable through our suffering. I can sit and mope and whine and cry around about all the things wrong in my life. Or I can choose to look up to Him, to look up to the very one that has my hairs numbered and has my breath in the palm of His hand. I can choose to do that. And when I trust in Him, you know what He's going to give me? You know that what He's going to provide for me? He's going to provide peace, and He's going to provide joy for me, and contentment He's going to give me. The last point is this: the rewards are greater than the suffering. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 say, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." When we serve God, when we hang on to Jesus Christ, when we trust in Him, we're going to be able to see great things happen. When we get a hold of Him, as we see stories of Joseph, as he got a hold of God and held on to Him through all those trials and tribulations, thinking his life was never going to amount to a whole lot, but he remembered the vision. He remembered the promise of God. And he had noticed through his life how God had provided, met all of those needs. When it got to the point that he was able to explain and elaborate from this dream that Pharaoh had had, he saw seven, I believe it was, big fat and healthy cattle coming up out of the water to graze in the pasture. Then he said he saw seven lean, sad-looking cattle come out and devour those seven healthy. And he said, "This has plagued me night after night after night. What does it really mean?" Joseph said, "I'm going to tell you exactly what it means. That's a vision from God. It means you're going to have 7 years of great harvest. Then you're going to have 7 years of famine." So when he interpreted that dream, the peace that came over Pharaoh, Pharaoh said, "We are going to institute today that for the next 7 years, we've got to store up our goods and prepare for these 7 lean years that we're going to have. And nobody else rather than Joseph do I want to have in charge of coordinating this." A man that was thrown in a pit, a man that had been was going to be left to die, sold into slavery, falsely accused, ended up in prison, found himself near the end of his life, second in command in Egypt. How is that possible? I'll tell you exactly how that's possible: because God was in it. He was able to store up enough in his houses. Finally, we know his brothers came seeking some help during the times of famine. He reconciled with his brothers. You know something else that God will give us the ability to do? He'll give us the ability to forgive. Joseph forgave his brothers for how they had wronged him. It's not that he accepted what they had done to be right, but he forgave them. He was able to move on and put that in his past and accomplish great things. And joy was constant in the life of Joseph. Why? Because he continued to grab hold of God. And you see, that's what we've got to do today. We've got to continue to hold Jesus. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know your relationship with God. I don't know if you have one. I don't know if you're saved or you're not saved. But you're listening. You're watching. So I want to challenge you today. If you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you something. These days we live in will definitely trouble you, cause you to fear and be anxious. There's only one thing that's going to calm the fears of this world and this life. It's going to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, I encourage you to pray and ask Him into your heart. Trust that Jesus, when He died on that cross, He died for all of our sins and paid a way for us to be saved and be forgiven of our unrighteousness. You, my friend, can be saved today if you believe and trust in Him. It's not a pattern prayer that you pray. It's not just repeating after me, but it's a belief in who Jesus Christ is. Choose today to believe in Him. If you are saved, many are, yet you're still troubled and you're still unsettled and not at rest, I encourage you to look up to Him. You want joy back in your life? Here's how you're going to get it. You're going to get it by hanging on to the hem of Jesus Christ. Trust in Him today. Trust in Him. While you have opportunity and breath in your body, get a hold of Jesus. Let's pray before we have our closing song. Our Father, we come to You today again, thanking You for Your holy word, thanking You, God, for Your blessings, for Your care over us. We pray, God, that You bring the knowledge and wisdom to scientists that's needed today. We pray, God, that You give our government and our leaders the wisdom they need. We pray that, God, You be with those that are lost and troubled and undone without You. We pray that Your Holy Spirit, even right now, would convict them of their sin and where the relationship is at. Pray, God, that You would give them the courage to open up their hearts and trust You as Lord and Savior today. Those that are saved, God, and Your followers, Your believers, I pray that You give us that peace, give us that joy, and give us, God, the courage to stand and be a witness for You in these troubling times. Thank You so much, God, for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You for Your forgiveness. And thank You, God, for all the wonderful things You do for us. We love You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you prayed today to receive Jesus Christ, I encourage you to get a hold of us. Give us a call, 428-9223 at the church office, or respond to us on Facebook or through our website. Let us know so we can celebrate with you. We're all in this together, and let's look up to Jesus Christ. He is our only hope.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.